Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our ground model. It's 11 minutes after 1. It's time for us to get into our focus for today in our grow model. And as per usual, we do have the good pastor joining us on the line, Pastor Comfort Anupa Mugwendere, talking to us about how to study the Bible, hearing God's voice in the world. And I want you to be very clear about what we're about to have a conversation about. People often say, God told me this, God told me that. But how can we really be sure it's Him, it's God, and not last night's pizza? The Bible says His sheep hear His voice. But it takes more than just a quick skim to discern it, right? Today we're wrestling with how to hear God in Scripture without twisting His words into something they never meant. That's why we have the good Pastor Mugwendere joining us to help us with that. Pastor Mugwendere, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. How are you, my brother? How are you, my leader?
I have a bit of a headache, Pastor, but it's getting better. The good Lord is helping me, is healing me. How are you, Pastor?
So far, so good. Can't complain. This side is just cold.
Not to worry, Pastor. Don't worry. It's not only that side. The entire southern hemisphere is in a grip of winter, so it's not personal. Let's just soldier on. It will end in a couple of months or so. Our question for today, Mfundisi, is about hearing God's voice in the world. It's a conversation I would love to stretch out for 2 hours and just nitpick on a variety of things that people say, but we don't have 2 hours, so we'll try and squash it all in just the next 20 minutes or so. So what does it mean, Mfundisi, to hear God through Scripture in a world saturated with so much noise?
This is one of the most important questions in spiritual growth, in our growth model. How can someone discern the voice of God from that of a stranger?
Right.
The Bible states in the book of John 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." But there are many voices speaking to us. So how do we know? Now, the first thing I would pose is that hearing God through Scripture requires deep personal relationship with Him.
Right.
Cultivated through prayer, reflection, and obedience.
Right.
Here I'm talking about intimacy with God.
Mm.
So in order for me to reach a point whereby I can hear Him, there must be intimacy. Mm. And it must be intentional.
Right.
Intentional in terms of relationship, prayer, reflection, and obedience.
Right.
Then secondly, we talk about spiritual discernment. What do I mean here? I mean, we need to discern God's voice. Discerning God's voice involves spiritual discernment, which comes from a combination of studying Scripture,
right,
seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit, and applying biblical principles in daily life.
Right.
So how do we develop this spiritual discernment? So it comes from a thorough study of the Word of God. And number two, going there, submitting, seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit. Remember, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And there's something which is always popping up. It is applying biblical principles in daily life.
Right.
You know, to allow it, to allow the Bible to say, to take root. My favorite author says here, let me just read what she says here. She says, "The Bible is not to be tested by our infinite ideas, but our ideas are to be brought into harmony with the teachings of the Word."
Yeah.
So you allow the Word to speak, not to go there with our preconceived ideas. So we can only hear the voice of God if we submit to be taught.
Yes. Okay. Okay. And I was hoping you just help us understand whether is it just a figure of speech, this idea of hearing the voice of God, or is it literal? It's a bit of a problem for me, Mfundisi, because we have heard a lot of people saying, "The Lord said to me," and sometimes I doubt if the Lord could ever say the things that these people say, "The Lord said to me." So just explain how this happens.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm reading the book of Job. Job is saying here, God does speak, yes, once or even twice, but the people do not perceive. God indeed, he speaks. He speaks, God speaks. It's a literal concept. But however, for our study today is to discern his voice through the scriptures, not only through audible. If God can choose to speak through audible, but before we reach that point, firstly, we must be able to familiarize with his voice. Like, for example, right now, my brother, if your wife calls using another number, you even if she just says honey, you don't ask, you already know her voice. So you already have a relationship with her through being with her before she speaks away. So what are we saying here? We are saying in order to reach the second level of hearing an auditory voice of God, firstly, we must be able to hear him through his revealed word. Then after that, we now have this character of God. We are now familiar with his voice. Therefore, he might choose to speak with us audibly with what people say. But whatever he says, we are given an admonition here in the book of Thessalonians. In the book of Thessalonians, gives us an admonition that we need to test it, whether it is coming from God. So how do we test it? Firstly, we test it by the written revealed word of God.
Okay, yeah, maybe I should just wait up until we have a longer conversation because it's a bit of a situation. Let's move on from this. So how do we balance personal revelation with biblical accuracy?
Thank you so much. How do we then balance biblical revelation and personal revelation and biblical accuracy? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 22 reads, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." It's saying here, your personal revelation that I'll refer here, spirit, that yes, do not quench it. We need that. But at the same time, it must be tested. So how do we do it? The key principles are scripture must be foundation. So the Bible is the foundation of our faith, and the personal revelation must align with its teachings. So my personal revelation, your personal revelation, it must align with the biblical teachings. Why are we saying so? Because our personal revelation must be tested against scripture, seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit and wise counsel. And in order to do this, to balance the things, we need humility and discernment. You need to approach personal revelations with humility, recognizing the potential for misinterpretation and misunderstanding. So remember, to err is human. We err. So as we do it, you need to note, okay, my personal revelation, yes, It might be truthful, but let me give room for correction because I am a human and I can err. So I gave three principles. Principle number one, I said scripture must be the foundation. Number two, you must allow your personal revelation to be tested. Then number three, humility and discernment. It's key in balancing our personal revelation with biblical accuracy.
Okay, so there is such a thing as a personal revelation. Am I hearing the pastor well?
Yes, there is something called personal revelation. Yes, it's there.
Okay. Can you think of a time when a verse meant one thing to you emotionally, but something entirely different in its context?
You know, at one point, it's when I read chapter 11, around verse 7, the book of Luke, where Jesus says, ask and you shall find, seek and you shall find, isn't ask and you shall receive. And during that point in time, I was struggling financially in terms of fees. I wanted to pay my fees. So when I read that verse, it encouraged me, and I went to God in prayer and said, you know what, God, you said I should ask and I should receive, you know. It encouraged me. It gave me power. And when I prayed, it gave me that power to pray and claim it. You know, God, you said, if I ask, I should receive. So I'm here. I'll never leave you until I have received. But as I was going out deeper to that passage, I come across the 13 now where it says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I came to understand that the context of the text is not only talking about asking temporal things, but it's talking about asking something which is so important, which is the Holy Spirit, which then in chapter 8, verse 30, and chapter 8, verse 34, verse 38 in the book of Romans, where it says, now, you do not know how to pray, what you're supposed to pray for, but the Spirit now utters groans before God with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I came to understand that the context here, Jesus is saying, seek, knock for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because as a human being, you do not know what to pray.
Okay. It's triggering a lot of questions. I'm doing a lot to resist to ask the other questions that are triggered in my mind now, Mfundisi. So let's move on. There are times, Mfundisi, when people pray and it doesn't seem as though God is answering their prayer, or at least maybe they don't hear God. Why? Why does God sometimes feel silent even when we're faithfully reading the Word?
I think this question is something which is important, especially in a lot of people. At the school I work at, Riverside College, I often find this question, that chaplain, why is it God is silent? Some of the possible reasons might be, number one, God might be testing faith, you know, testing faith. So God allows periods of silence to test our faith, patience, and trust in Him. So maybe it's one of the possible reasons. Possible reason number two, maybe it's the silence can refine our understanding of God's character, promises, and ways. So maybe it's refining understanding. It's a period whereby God wants to refine understanding. Or lastly, maybe it's the issue of personal growth. So God's silence can prompt personal growth, self-reflection, and deeper dependence on Him. So these are some, and they are not limited to these ones. I gave number one. I'm saying maybe God might be silent, testing faith, testing that, do I really, really want this? Or most of the times, including me, myself, we go to God as an option A, but already have option B and option C. So maybe God is giving me time to reflect, to think that, do I really want Him? Am I really saying that my hope, like what David says, I lift my eyes unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help come from God. If I reach that point whereby I say, all other ground is sinking sand, only at God, that's where I can get the answer. So maybe God is testing. Or number two, God is refining understanding. You know, sometimes you might ask something, maybe you've asked it in anger. So maybe you've asked something because emotional. So God sometimes may be silent so that you may reflect and think that, do I really mean this? Do I really want this? Is it really necessary? Or lastly, personal growth. God wants us to grow into Him, grow to love Him. So these are the three reasons sometimes that God might be silent.
Let's talk about studying the Bible, Mfundisi. How can studying the Bible help us become more fluent in God's language of truth, in God's language of grace, and in conviction?
A biblical fluent in God's language, it has got a plethora of benefits. One of them being a deeper, it provides deeper understanding. You see, studying the Bible helps us understand God's character, promises, and what? And the teachings. We become familiar with His teaching. We become familiar with His character, the character of love. And number two, you know, it helps in the issue of spiritual growth. Regular engagement with Scripture fosters spiritual growth, maturity, and transformation. You know, that regularity, it fosters maturity, it fosters what I call spiritual growth and also transformation. Remember, by beholding, we become changed. So the more we regularize it, that's how we become changed. And lastly, it helps, you know, it helps in discernment. So Bible study enables us to discern truth from error and make informed decision. So because we have studied it, when error comes, we might be able to discern as what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, know this, from your infancy, you have known the holy scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. So one of the things that scripture help us, they make us wise to be able to discern right from wrong. And also, it helps us when the enemy attacks, you know. When the enemy attacks, we are living in a period of the great controversy where the enemy attacks. But when he attacks, just like our Savior, Jesus Christ, when he attacked, Jesus would only respond, it is written. So it armors us. It gives us the armory in order to defend our faith. When the enemy comes, we are able to say, it is written.
All right. We've got to leave it there, Mfundisi. Had we had time, I was going to insist on the how part, because that question, the last question was asking how, but I do realize we really don't have the benefit of time. I've kept you long enough. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Let's do this again tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a wonderful day, Father Mfundisi. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Omar, so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.